Blog Talk Radio.
You was popping, my niggas. PSA motherfucking podcast in the fucking building. You already know. Gonna talk some King of the Dot today. I'm about to have Nakia come on the show. I think I'm gonna spaz on the Knicks in a little bit. I cannot understand what the fuck is going on in New York right now. These goddamn Knicks. But that's neither here nor there. Please go on PSA Podcast if you have not already. Got a lot of appreciations. Hold on, let me get the call it the guest in right now. King of the Dot, July 22nd, KOTD, Massacre 3. If you can't be in the building, you know King of the Dot. They always bless us with pay-per-views. Please support the fucking pay-per-view if you can't get down to Boston like people like myself who's from the East Coast but live in Miami now, my family now. But I'm going to obviously order the pay-per-view and enjoy myself, man. Let me get Nakia in the building right now. Nakia, what's good, man?
Hey, what's
welcome
what?
To PSA Podcast,
what's
brother.
Good, man. I didn't know you were in Miami. I lived in Pembroke Pines for about a little bit more than 10 years.
Get out of town. It's up the block, though. Pembroke Pines is up the block. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. How you doing, brother? How's everything, man?
Things are good. Things are good. Gearing up. It's getting close to showtime, so getting excited for sure.
Let's talk about it. July 22nd, Boston, Massachusetts, KOTD. Now, real quick, Nakia, we all know Bishop Bagante, Gully, Organic. For my listeners who might not be familiar with who you are, because you kind of play the back scene or more affiliated when the cards are in Boston. Am I correct with that?
Correct. I've been working with King of the Dot now for, you know, this is going on 3 years. This is our third event out here in Massachusetts. It's actually going to be in Worcester, which is about an hour outside of Boston, but still a pretty big city. Really nice venue. The Palladium is a big venue. The area that we're in holds a little bit more than 1,000 people. So it's going to be a good time. We've always got the live pay-per-view on deck. Avocado filming it and directing the filming of it. So that's going to be top-notch quality right there.
Facts. And one thing I like about King of the Dot is what you guys do during intermissions. You guys play some dope-ass hip-hop. I'm an old-school guy, so I appreciate the trailer with the Mobb Deep Shook one. I appreciate little shit like that in the guy I fucks with. It might be small to some people, but I like hearing, you know, dope hip-hop in the background while you guys are playing. Was it hard to make these matches? We got eight matches. Am I correct, right? Eight matches in all?
Yeah, eight matches. And I'll tell you, the person that does the music in the background, that's DJ Doctor. He's at all the Toronto and Boston King of the Dot events.
Shout out to you, sir. For real. Shout out to you. This card, though, is it hard to get these matches? There's some big boy matches right here, though, Nakia. There's some big boy matches. Us, Iron Solomon, Daylight, Mickey Fax, Jim's DNA, Chilla, Ilmac, Clips, Thesaurus, Shotty P, Shug, Sharon and Verb. I'm looking forward to that. And Pat Stan, Big K, man. That's a big boy matchup right there. Line up, man.
Absolutely. And, you know, Massacre over the past 3 years has become one of our marquee events. You know, if you look at the past two massacres, last year we had, you know, Hollow versus Pat and Big K versus Head Ice and, you know, Iron Solomon versus B Magic. That was, plus, you know, tons of other ones. That was a great event right there. And before that, we had Pat versus Calico, you know, Chilla versus Conceited.
Ill Will, Big K,
yeah,
right?
Big K versus Ill Will. Massacre's an event that battlers have come to want to be on. The battles kind of make themselves for the most part for these events. These guys all pretty much want to battle each other. So that's one of the things that I always try and do, because to me, that's how you get the best matchups. Whether if they want to battle each other because they respect each other, or they want to battle each other because they want to take the person's head off.
Is it hard, and when I say this respectfully, because a lot of King of the Dot events are in Toronto, they haven't really done Cali this year, I don't think, right? Am I right on that? I don't think I've seen a Cali card in the 7 months so far.
Not yet, but
about a rap calendar, right?
Yeah, no, not yet. The bunker ended up getting demolished, so that kind of hurt the Cali scene for a minute.
Right.
But I'm hearing some rumblings of some things working out there.
Now, I think the good thing about having the card that you're doing, especially for King of the Dot in Boston a lot, for the Massacre event, though, is good because a lot of these guys, you end up hearing a match that's happening in Toronto, and for some reason, the Kaya guys can't get across the border. They got passport issues. Is it a good thing that you're in the cut here, being that it's not hard for a gentleman that's probably from St. Louis, like Verb, he had problems getting across the border before. Easy for him to go from St. Louis to Boston. Is that very important that you guys, like, for instance, that Verb and Sharon battle was supposed to happen in Toronto. Now you guys pick it up for Massacre. Is that a great thing that you're in the cut that, okay, certain battles might not happen because of passport issues and you could pick it up for Massacre?
Well, for sure. It's a lot easier to get guys, across state lines than it is international lines. And so that's always a concern for us, with any time. I mean, the same goes for guys coming over from Canada, but it seems to be less of an issue, or at least I haven't had any issues yet. But no, that's definitely a benefit. And there's guys that can't cross the border, like Big K, that we can have on the card.
Right. Let's talk about these matches, man. Is there any particular match that you're looking forward to, or you can't really indulge in that because you're basically a league
owner?
The
main event, obviously, that's a battle that I think all of us have wanted to see for a few years now. Big K versus Pat is just two behemoths within King of the Dot. Two dudes that have always commanded a lot of power, and for a while it seemed like they wouldn't battle because Pat hadn't come over to the U.S. and Big K obviously couldn't cross. And
right.
One of the things that one of the reasons why I really love this matchup is Pat Stay has been the main event for every Massacre card so far.
Facts.
Big K has had arguably the best battle of the past two Massacres, of every Massacre so far. So I think it's kind of natural for them to meet in the main event of this third one.
One thing I like about Pat Stay, though, Nakai, I'm glad, and I've interviewed Pat Stay a couple times, to see him battle out of his comfort zone. And he went to UW and battled DNA. I know he went to Don't Flop and battled John. So it's good to see him battle his comfort zone. Do you think he's making it a conscious effort where he's probably hear the rumbling like, everybody thinks I get home cooking all the time in Canada. Now that he's in his prime in his battle rap career, that he wants to, test the waters and battle other places besides home?
Well, I mean, he's always battled other places. It's funny, he just hadn't been to the U.S., but he had battled over in Sweden before.
U.S. soil, I meant. That's what I meant, U.S. soil. Right.
I think Pat's always wanted to battle in the U.S. It's just been a matter of the right opportunity coming. Pat's a star within King of the Dot, and he's not one of these guys. There's different types of top-tier dudes, and you know this. There's guys that really only battle a few times a year because they're only taking matches that make sense. And then there's guys that don't mind helping out the up-and-coming leagues or the regional leagues by headlining, one of their cards against their guys for the right amount of money. Pat's in the first group. He really only battles a few times a year, and that's pretty much always been the case.
Right. What do you think about Austin and Ian Solomon?
I'm shocked that battle hasn't happened yet. They've both been battling long.
Before you go into Kaya, I said the same thing to Ian Solomon about 3.5 weeks ago when I interviewed him. I'm like, you guys been here since fucking Fight Club. You get what I'm saying? The same time Arsenal battled Hollow is when Ian Solomon battled Jin, that same fucking time. And they never met up throughout the years. And it's good to see it now.
That's what I'm saying. And they've been on, all the same platforms and whatnot, been on cards at the same time, but it's just never happened. So, no, and I think Arsenal, salute to him. He's done so much for Battle Rap. And, you know, for him to be leaving on a note of battling two legends, I think is just a testament to his career and his legacy.
Any concerns, though, that Arsenal is battling Ian Solomon on July 22nd, then fast forward August 5th, he's battling Lux. Any concern on you guys' side where the conversation the battle rap community is, well, he's probably going to go harder for Lux than he go Ian Solomon, because that's no disrespect in the battle rap community. That's a bigger name, so people think that he's going to go harder for Lux than he go for Ian Solomon. Any concerns with you guys with that, or?
Personally, I can only speak for myself. I have zero concerns about that. Arsenal is somebody that is very calculated in his career. And I've spoken to him personally, and I know that he wants to get his music career off the ground. That's why he's retiring from battle rap. Is you can't have one foot in each game. You won't do well in either. You kind of got to focus where you want to be. So I think he wants to go out with a bang. I have zero doubts that he's going to come as hard for Iron as he would any other day.
And I got to say this. I'm so proud of Ian Solomon in the sense of this, that, you know, after the Murder Mook battle, you know, he went on hiatus, basically. And for him to come back on King of the Dot, then he got D-Magic, Daylight, Classic with Disaster, Charlie Clips under his belt. I think he's been real comfortable, if that makes any sense to you, since he's been back in his last, what, 3-4 battles?
Absolutely. I think Iron's done great in his battles since he's been back. Funny little story, though, is, you know, nobody had really seen Iron for a few years. He wasn't even at events, let alone battling at them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the first time people saw him back was at the first Massacre event. He showed up as a guest for that.
That's crazy, but I'm proud of him, man. To see a guy like that bounce back, you know what I'm saying, from that Murder Mook shit, it's good to see. Daylight and Mickey Fax. Listen, the last time we see Mickey Fax, he was in a one-round battle with Danger Zone. If you want to say, it was a one-rounder, so it's kind of hard to say you got your feet wet in a one-round battle, but you know, got the cobwebs out. What are you expecting for Mickey Fax, and how did that discussion happen? Like, all right, Fax, 3 rounds? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different than one round. And he has a battle. That battle was in 2013, Akaya, when he battled Danger Zone. So fast forward a couple years now, what are we expecting from Mickey Fax?
I'm expecting a very lyrical battle from both of them. I think Mickey's actually probably going to come harder at Day than Day comes at Mickey. Just from what I'm seeing, and I could be completely wrong. You never know with Daylight.
No, sir. But I'm going to concur. I'm going to concur with you on that one. I think Mickey Fax is really coming for blood. That's just my opinion. I know Daylight is very lyrically intricate, but I think Fax is trying to prove a point that we're all doubting him in a sense, and he wants to kick Daylight's ass.
I agree. And I know he's got some shit coming out before the battle that's definitely going to get some people's attention.
All right. And Jims and DNA. Listen, I got to tell you, Jims is one of my favorite guys right now. I feel that he's taking – I think the blogging – has really helped his persona in a sense of, I think, battle rap fans, because we love his blog so much that we want Jims to win, not only in the blogging, because he's so funny and shit, that we wanted to transform into battle rap. Now he can get these W's. And he just battled Loso at the last event. I think I might have edged it to Loso. Jims and DNA, that's a big battle for Jims, man. DNA is king of the dot. I mean, that guy... I always say this, Nakia, I feel Organic and you guys have this cat on speed dial, because a motherfucker will miss an event, and here comes DNA coming out to cut the battle Sharon or battle some other guy. So it's DNA besides URL KOTD has been real good to DNA, man. What do you think about Jims and DNA?
I think that's a great battle. I agree with you. Jims is one of my favorite up-and-coming guys right now, even though he's been out for a while, but, like, he's had this surge of popularity. His blogs are hilarious. I hope to see more of his blog personality come out in his battles.
Right. Agree.
That would probably be the one thing that I would suggest to him, if anything. DNA, on the other hand, is a very hard opponent for any up-and-coming battler because those are exactly the guys that DNA shows up against and knocks off, you know, whatever streak they're on.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is true. Chilling, Ilmac. Ilmac, goddamn legend from Grind Time. And Chilla Jones, I think it's going to be a slept-on battle. I think it's going to be one of the sleepers right here.
I think this has all the makings of a classic. I mean, both these guys are known for their intricate pens. You know, Ilmac hasn't battled since his title match.
Yeah.
So he's definitely had some time to come up with some shit. And, you know, Chilla being from Boston, you know he's going to show out. Like, I think this could absolutely steal Battle of the Night, especially as far as replayability on YouTube.
Okay. Got you. Clips at Thesaurus, man.
This is going to be
the funny battle. This is going to be the comedy battle to me. A lot of jokes in this battle.
This is another battle that I'm shocked hasn't happened yet. They've both been on several cards together, and they're both very well-known freestylers and are great at it, and both are funny as well. I think this is a natural matchup. I think this could – this is another one that could steal the show. If both come on their A game, this could steal the show and be Battle of the Night.
Okay, gotcha. And Shotty P and Shaka and Suge making a is it Sir Suge's first KOTD matchup?
No.
Am I wrong
with
that? He's had one before. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can tell you right now.
Tycoon Tax.
Tyson Tycoon Tax a couple years ago. Yep. What do you think about Shaka and Suge and Shotty P here?
Man, I'm a big fan of both of these guys. Suge has, you know, had stellar performances recently, and everybody's been loving what he's been putting out there. Same with Shotty P. And Shotty P, every time, you know, you think of Suge, and your first thought is that Shotty P should probably lose this. Suge's got, you know, the size, the experience, and, you know, he seems like he'd be an intimidating figure next to Shotty P. But Shotty P has gone up against a lot of people that you think should beat him, and it does not happen. He's got a lot of fight in him. And, you know, he's one of these guys that slept on until the battle actually happened.
Got you. And obviously, we have Sharone and Averb. I think this is going to be – is this the grudge match on the card? I call this a grudge match. Am I right on that?
Yeah. I mean, they've definitely been talking some shit back and forth to each other for a long time now.
And remember, hold on, Lakai. Remember the last event?
Yeah.
Remember the last King of the Dot event when A-Rub didn't make it? Sharone was talking real greasy through the pay-per-view, man. He was talking real extra greasy. You know what I'm saying?
That's why
I say this is a grudge match right here, man.
He was talking his shit after too when he was in New York, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like right after the event when he was shooting Wildin' Out or some shit.
That was gonna be good.
And Berg's another one that says he's on his way out and only has a few battles left in him. So, you know, I expect him to try and cement his legacy as well.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Do you guys reach out to B-Dot at all?
He was definitely somebody that we were talking about. I don't know if it ever got to the point of reaching out to him or not. But he's somebody I'm a real big fan of.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, man. Is there, because people know, you know, there's always talk, and I want to get your opinion on this. Obviously, there's URL, King of the Dot, RBE. Those are the three major groups when we think of battle rap. Is there a difference between competition and working together? A lot of people trying to set this off and a URL versus King of the Dot card. Is that something that you guys think about or would entertain or have in discussions at all?
It's not really something that we think about. We're really trying to create our own lane and grow this culture as much as we can. You know, I'm not one that would ever take anything 100% off the table, but it's also not really my call on something like that. But no, that's just not where our focus is. Our focus is growing our brand and growing our company. And, you know, I love healthy competition. I would never want King of the Dot and URL to actually become the same company. I think of it in,
right,
in wrestling days. You know, I was
WCW. Yeah, when
exactly.
Vince won WCW, wrestling was over after that. Once he brought out Ted Turner, it was a wrap.
And even better yet, you know, it was WWF, WCW, and ECW. Because ECW was growing in popularity. It wasn't as big as the other two, but, you know, kind of like King of the Dot, URL, RBE. You know what I'm saying? And so, no, I think competition is good. I think it keeps everyone alive and healthy and striving to do their best. If there's one dominant force that completely takes over an industry, there's no reason for them to innovate.
Is there friction between the leagues? Low key friction?
I wouldn't say friction. I'm a huge fan of URL. I'm probably gonna be at Summer Madness 6.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I enjoy what they do.
Is that something the fans drum up and try to really stir up more than, you know, league owners?
Yeah, no, I really think it is. You know, if you've seen, you know, we've been at URL events before. They've been at our events before. I really think that's something that the fans create more than anything. And some of the media, too, you know.
Yes, the media does do that. I kind of try to stay away from that. Even though I did say before, I wouldn't mind seeing URL and KOTD. But when I said that, to be fair, a lot of fans are like, well, who's King of the Dot going to have a five against their five when some of the guys who've been on URL first are over there? Is that something that you guys kind of like bothers y'all sometimes where people are like, well, you know, hello, you should be able to battle anywhere. When some people say he's a URL battler, but now he's a King of the Dot, like a guy like Verb, who battles frequently on, who's battling King of the Dot against the A-Verbs, against the Sauruses of the world. And, you know, Head Ice is the goddamn champion over there right now. Is that something that y'all look at like, okay,
I mean, we're
looking at brand talent?
To me, I think it's ridiculous that the fans look at it one way because, I mean, you know, you could also look at Rum Nitty or Real Deal or, you know, Sharone's been over to URL before. Like,
right.
You know, it happens both ways.
Right. Plug the pay-per-view, man. One more time, please, sir. Can you plug King of the Dot Massacre 3 one
absolutely,
more time, please?
Absolutely. King of the Dot Massacre 3, July 22nd in Worcester, Mass. You know, it's going to be live on pay-per-view. You can still get your tickets now. We've also got a second day, Ground Zero Day, day two on Sunday, that we didn't even get a chance to talk about. And one of the battles on that card is absolutely incredible and probably deserves to be on day one. It's just you can only fit so many in a day. And that's Excel versus
really?
Oops, with Oops making his return.
Oops? Wow. I haven't seen Oops since goddamn RBE. Shit. Good luck. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the end. Okay. You know, we've also got Rosenberg Raw versus Megadeth.
Megadeth, okay.
That's
my man, Rosenberg. Rosenberg, okay.
Dunch versus Essam.
Okay.
which is a dope battle. Then a guy that I've been watching that's been coming up locally, versus Lev Corso. I don't have that full card in front of me. I'm just going off the top of my head.
Okay.
But that's an incredible card as well, which is, you know, a little bit down the ways from where day one is, but definitely going to be a good time as well. And, I mean, Excel versus Oofs is a huge battle. That's something that I'm really looking forward to.
Right. All right. That's really Nakaya, man. I appreciate you, my brother.
I appreciate you having me on, man.
Yes, sir. I'll make sure I blast this out right quick, man. For real. Support King of the Dot, July 22nd pay-per-view. Can you let them know how much the pay-per-view is just so they can know?
I believe it's $30.
Okay.
Let me pull something up right now and see if I can check that. But I believe that's how much it is.
That's usually how much you guys do, $30, $35.
Yeah, it's $30 or $35, somewhere around there.
Okay. All right. Kyle, man, I appreciate you coming on PSA Podcast, my brother.
I appreciate you having me on. And
you already
enjoy the show. One thing I would definitely say is I would recommend watching this one live for everyone. Take the time out of your day. Don't wait for the video on demand. Watch the live stream. We're going to have – see, one of the things that we do with our pay-per-view live stream that's also great is we have commentators. So you're not just sitting there in between the battles. You know, we have interviews behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we've got some special –
Usually Dirtbag Dan is good at shit like that. Usually he holds that down, right?
Absolutely. He's somebody that we've had several times before. This lineup of pay-per-view broadcasters, I think, is going to be something else that's going to shake things up a little bit. I think people are going to be surprised by this one.
Okay. That's what it is. Kai, man, I appreciate you, my brother.
All right. Appreciate you as well, man. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. All right. That's what it is, man. King of the Dot. July 22nd, you already know what it is. Ah, let's talk, man. Let's talk about the fucking Knicks right quick, my niggas. Listen, man. I've been a Knicks fan since goddamn Rick Pitino, my niggas. Since Trent Tucker, Kenny Skywalker won the fucking dunk contest in 89. Trent Tucker, who's out here shooting threes. I've been there when Stu Jackson was a coach for a little bit, my niggas. Mark Jackson came into the fold. I remember living in New York City, in Brooklyn. I remember, y'all, I'm Jamaican. So when Patrick Ewing got drafted by the Knicks in 85, you'd have thought Brooklyn was Jamaica, man. For real. There's a lot of West Indians in New York, in Brooklyn anyway. I say that to say this. I've been a Knicks fan forever. I bleed blue and orange. And I've got these little young punk niggas on Twitter who just started watching fucking the Knicks when they got fucking Sprewell. No shade to you niggas, but you can't tell me nothing right now what I'm about to fucking say about the Knicks. I know a lot of you niggas, I don't have to live in New York no more to watch the Knicks, nigga. I see what the fuck is going on, man. I've been there when Pat Riley came into the door. That's when we thought we had hope. You niggas did not want to give Pat Riley everything he fucking asked for. Then he shipped, gave us some facts, bounced to Miami. How many rings he got over there, man? We didn't learn from Pat Riley. No, we did not. No, the fuck we did not. All the years we had Patrick Ewing out here, my niggas. He was really dolo. Listen, I like Starks, love Mace, love Oak. But my nigga, we never had a true point guard in New York City, the mecca of basketball, and we've never had a true point guard. And miss me with fucking Stephon Marbury, too. That's the closest we had. I remember when the Knicks fucking drafted Charlie Ward, my niggas. Niggas is all going fucking crazy. How about 96 when we drafted John Wallace and what's the fucking nigga from Mississippi State? Dante something and Walter McCarty. I got gassed in 96, man. One of the best drafts in NBA history, too. I don't think it's 2003, but 96 draft was fired, too. AI, Camby, and the rest of them niggas, man. Here, when Donnie Nelson came into the fold, he wanted to implement the point forward, bringing the ball up. So Mace brought the ball up. RIP to Mace. I was a wash when we had Donnie Walsh. Don Chaney, fuck out of here. Lenny Wilkins, fuck out of here. Isaiah Thomas, fuck out of here. The 90s, we couldn't pass Mike. We couldn't get past Mike. The only year when he fucking retired in 94, and let's be real, my niggas, we gonna call it what it is. That was a foul. That was a foul. That was a foul on Hubert Davis on Scottie Pippen, my dude. That was a foul. No, excuse me. That was not a foul because Hubert Davis had to shoot three free throws. Pardon self. That was not a foul in 94. 95, Ewing missed layup. Oh, my God, my serious. Then we go into the shit with the Heat. You know what I'm saying? We're one of the first few teams. I think the Seattle Supersonics. The Denver Nuggets was the first team for being the eighth seed, beating the first seed, because that year, Mutombo, I think it was Alfonso Ellis, what is it? Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Robert Pack, and the rest of them niggas. They beat the Seattle Supersonics that year. And I think the Knicks were the second team, because that 99 season when we beat, when we went to the finals against the Spurs. 2000, this era of Knicks basketball has been caca juice. Archie Bunker Award, wait for it. Trash. Just straight trash. Larry Brown, I thought you was going to bring hope here. No, nigga, no. No, nigga, no. No. We get Mike Woodson in the fold, and as much as we bash Mike Woodson on Twitter, Knicks Twitter, he's done more than... Let me shut the fuck up, man. And let's get into Carmelo Anthony real quick, man. Because I'm going to be fucking real, because the rest of you niggas I ain't wearing your pom-poms. Cheers. I'm Stay Mellow. Hashtag Stay Mellow. Fuck the hashtag Stay Mellow. The fuck up out of here, nigga. We don't need Mellow. Let's be real, my niggas. Hold on, man. Do not get it twisted. When Mellow decided to come to New York, I was happy. But let's stop for a minute. That nigga could have waited the whole fucking year. Just stay your ass in Denver. You threaten to go to Brooklyn if we don't fucking pull the trigger to get your ass over here, my nigga. And we did that, Mellow. And for what? For what? For what? What have we accomplished since Mellow been here? You forget that fucking layup, that dunk he tried to dunk on fucking, what's your boy, Roy Hibbert, and caught a back spasm? Aren't you niggas tired of ISO ball? And don't get me wrong, Phil Jackson, fuck up out, I'm glad you gone. Did I like the way Phil was handling Melo? No. I didn't like that shit at all. But ask yourself this, all of a sudden Melo's down to waive his no trade clause. When Phil was here, he didn't want to do it. Now that we got the motherfucker out the building, now he's thinking about waiving his trade, no trade clause. And let me tell you something here. I do not want Carmelo Anthony going to no fucking Cleveland Cavaliers to what? To sit there and watch him kick our ass for 4 years? For four games a year? And anyway, I already know, yes, Cleveland was going to beat our ass anyway without Melo. I just don't want to see Melo having fun doing it. Yes, I'm being a fucking hater, nigga. The fuck out of here. We're going to reward you. No, ship his ass to Houston. Fuck it, my niggas. We'll eat it. We'll take Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, whoever. Is Porzingis ready to lead this team, y'all? I don't know. What are we in, year three? With Porzingis? And that's the motherfucker I care about. You motherfuckers worried about Melo. He's 33 years old. The fuck I worried about Melo for? And niggas talking about on Twitter, what's Carmelo Anthony's legacy? What is his legacy? 62 points in a fucking game? Is that his legacy? How many Eastern Conference finals we went to, my niggas? We went to one fucking second round, my niggas. One. Don't get it twisted. I was hype when he came to New York. That fucking game against Milwaukee. I don't ever forget that shit. His first game against Milwaukee. I remember that shit. But pull your skirts down, Knicks fans. He gotta go. Got to go. We have to rebuild. We have to rebuild. Hand the keys over to Porzingis. Now, we got rid of Phil Jackson. We're looking for a GM. Motherfuckers is going crazy for that dude in Toronto. Pardon me, y'all. I can't even pronounce his name. It's too many fucking letters and vowels for me. I'll let you niggas handle that one for me. I don't know too much about him. What did he do? No. And listen, I've been saying David Griffin since he left, since he got fired from Cleveland, or they let him go, or they parted ways, or however way these motherfuckers love these terminologies. Ways, left, gone. I don't know. He's already 5,000, my niggas. Conversations between the Knicks front office and David Griffin. And I know motherfuckers will say, well, what did David Griffin do? I understand LeBron is the GM, owner, coach, ball boy, laundry man, cafeteria guy, concession guy. He runs everything that happens over there in Cleveland. But at least we're bringing in somebody with some type of credibility, my niggas. And he came there with a team. Now, how do you fuck up a meeting? Yo, Dolan, my nigga, listen, man. You have got to sell this team, bro. Just sell the fucking team already, man. I know your daddy gave you, he's a billionaire. Sell the fucking team, bro. The Knicks are a fucking joke. I see a nigga on Twitter talking about, oh, don't be surprised if the Knicks go to the playoffs. My nigga, what are you talking about? I didn't want to be Jim Mora for a second, but I almost had a Jim Mora fucking blast in me. I was about to say playoffs. I don't want to be Jim Mora. Pardon me, y'all. We're a fucking joke. And I blame the fans. And let me tell you, I blame the fans. Y'all still go out and support that garbage on MSG. You niggas leave work 5, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and take your ass to the city and go watch the Knicks games. Why? Why? Dolan is sitting there counting money like, yo, I could have a terrible product, but niggas are still going to the games. How do you fuck up a meeting with David Griffin? You couldn't, what was it? You couldn't meet, come to understandings? What? And Steve Mills, I don't want to hear about, oh, give the brother a chance, he a black man. Fuck Steve Mills, man. I don't give a fuck about no color right now, my nigga. I give a fuck about my squad. Fuck Steve Mills, nigga, bounce. Wasn't Steve Mills the same regime that got rid of fucking Tim Hardaway and brought him back? And listen, the Tim Hardaway thing, 4 years, 70, listen, that's a lot of fucking bread. But my nigga, what am I going to say right now? Listen, man, my mother used to tell me, you can't be wrong, then strong. And my Jamaicans, if you listen to this show, you understand. Tell me how many times your parents used to tell you that. You can't be wrong and strong. Nigga, we wrong and we not strong, nigga. Dolan, Steve Mills, Allen Houston, get the fuck from my squad. Go away, please. Sell the fucking team. How could you not come to an agreement on David Griffin's role? I don't understand. So he withdraws his name from consideration of being the Knicks GM. Are you fucking kidding me? And I'm not saying David, slow down, niggas. I'm not saying David Griffin is the answer. But at least you're bringing in somebody with at least a little bit of credibility. And he brought his team with him. So that tells me he has a plan. I'd rather deal with a nigga like David Griffin right now. There's nobody else to pick, my niggas. Oh, my fucking God. Yo, I fucking hate this team, yo. Yo, Knicks, man. If pussy was right in front of you, you niggas would not know how to fucking write, man. That's for real. Man, fuck the Knicks, man.